Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. We'll be reading from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, starting with verse 29 and reading through 12, verse 2. And it's found on page 1099 of your pew Bibles, your chair Bibles, actually. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release, in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The second reading this morning will come from Luke, Gospel of Luke. We will be reading from chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 49 and reading through verse 56. Found on page 952. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I had to read that text over several times just to make sure that no one had tampered with my Bible. This text out of Luke's gospel is not a very favorite text for many of us. In fact, it doesn't sound much like Jesus, the Jesus that we're used to. Certainly not the nice, sweet, comforting Jesus with the lamb curled gently around his shoulders on his way to bring us peace on earth. No, this Jesus that we have this morning is a Jesus who has a wild but determined look in his eyes. He's on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross. And so he tells us up front that he does not come to bring peace, but he has come to bring fire. Fire, of course, evokes images of destruction and judgment. But it also evokes images of cleansing and purifying and refining. And perhaps the fire that Jesus comes to bring this morning does both of that, both of those things. It brings judgment, but also cleansing and refining and purifying. Jesus tells us that he comes to bring fire. He comes to bring judgment. He comes to bring cleansing and refining and transformation to the world. It's important to understand this morning that the fire that Jesus comes to bring is not a literal fire, but the fire that Jesus comes to bring is about passion. It is passion for the kingdom of God, passion for the ways of God in the world, passion that things will be done on earth just as they are in heaven. It is passion for God's kingdom, and this is the fire that Jesus wants to kindle in the hearts of each and every one of us, a passion for the kingdom of God. We've all known and seen people who are passionate about something. And when you see people who are passionate about something, they're willing to endure any cost. They're willing to undergo any sacrifice. They're willing to orient their lives so that their lives accord with their passion. Because that's what they are. They are passionate about something. It consumes them. They have this fire in the belly, this fire deep down inside of them. And they can't help to do what they do. So Jesus this morning says that he wants to bring that same fire. He wants to give that same fire to all of us. "Don't think that I've come to bring peace," said Jesus, "but I've come to bring fire. I've come to set the world ablaze, to set the world on fire." This is, as we said last week, a political year. And one of the things about politics is that people are often passionate about what they believe. I like watching the conventions, as I told you last week, because people are filled with passion. They have their candidates, they have their platforms, they have their visions for the future, and they are passionate about those things. Some of us who are a little more, used to politics, a little bit more jaded, a little bit more cynical, we usually shake our heads because we've heard it all before, we've seen it all before, and we don't believe that much will be able to change no matter who is elected, no matter who gains the reign of power. But in our text this morning, Jesus is passionate about the kingdom of God. Jesus comes to bring the kingdom, and he wants us to be passionate about that. And so he tells us that he has come to bring fire, but not peace. I was talking to a man in the coffee shop the other day, filled with passion about a particular issue. He was telling me that the problem is that his son has the opposite opinion of him on this particular issue, and that every time they come together, they argue and fight over this particular issue. And that's what our passions do sometimes. Our passions bleed over into our most intimate associations. And we sometimes don't like that. It bleeds over into our family life. It bleeds over into our church life. It may bleed over into our work life. And most of us don't like conflict. We don't like conflict in our families. We don't like conflict in our churches. We don't like conflict in our places of work. That's why we don't discuss politics in polite society, because we know that politics brings out people's passions. And we don't like that. We know how divisive that can be. But Jesus tells us that he's come to do that very thing, that he has come to dislodge us, that he has come to disrupt us, he has come to divide us. He has not come to bring peace, but he has come to bring fire. He wants to fire us up for the kingdom of God. Some of the commentaries that I read reading this on this text this morning point out that Jesus is under a lot of stress. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where he will be baptized by fire, which is just a cryptic way of referring to his death on the cross. And these commentaries go so far as to tell us that the reason that Jesus doesn't sound very nice, the reason that he's calling names, is because he's under stress. He knows that he will be crucified, and so he is not sounding very nice, not sounding like the Jesus that we are sometimes used to hearing. But I suspect that what we have here in our text this morning is simply the fact that Jesus is a very passionate person. Jesus is filled with passion. You see, Jesus had this all-consuming, unrelenting passion for the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus was the kingdom of God embodied in our midst. Everything that Jesus did, his feeding people, his healing people, his casting out demons, his forgiving people, his eating with sinners, it was all Jesus' way of saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what God's agenda is like. This is what I came to do. I came to show the love and the mercy of God. And so Jesus was very passionate about that. He was passionate about bringing God's love and mercy and forgiveness to the world. He was passionate about seeking out and saving people who were lost. He was passionate about that kingdom vision where there would be no more tears, no more pain, no more hunger, no more poverty, no more violence, no more bloodshed. He was passionate about all of that. And he came to kindle that same kind of passion in all of us. But Jesus is well aware that being on fire for God can be costly. It could cost you your livelihood. It could cost you your career. It could cost you your family and friends. It could even cost you your life. And Jesus knew a great deal about that. You see, oftentimes, Jesus' presence provoked conflict and strife. We're told from the very beginning in Luke's gospel, when the aged prophet Simeon prophesied over the baby Jesus, he said, this baby is destined for the rising and the falling of many in Israel. In other words, this baby is going to provoke conflict in the world. He's going to bring division in the world. And indeed, in Luke's gospel, Jesus' first sermon, when he laid down his agenda, he goes home to Nazareth and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, good news to the brokenhearted. But it's not a sermon that provoked universal amen. The people there wanted to kill him, and he barely escaped with his life. The religious leaders thought Jesus was crazy. They called him a sinner, said he was a drunkard and a wine bibber, hung out with the wrong kinds of people, hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. They called him a sinner too. Birds of a feather flock together. And even Jesus' own family thought he was crazy. They didn't believe in him. thought he had a demon. And Jesus' own disciples, many of them would sooner or later leave him. And yet Jesus was filled with a passion for the kingdom of God. Indeed, it was because of Jesus' passion for the kingdom of God, for the ways of God in the world. It was that passion that led to his passion, his suffering and death on the cross. And it's with that prospect in mind this morning that Jesus reminds us that he did not come to bring peace. Jesus says, no justice, no peace. He did not come to bring peace, but he came to bring fire. He came to bring division. He came to bring conflict, because the ways of God in the world bring conflict. There are some people who don't want God's kingdom bubbling up in the world. There are some people who like things just the way that they are. There are some people who don't want the good news of God breaking out into the world. And so whenever we are filled with that passion, that fire deep down inside of us, we can expect conflict. We can expect division. But Jesus says that's what he come for, so that we might have his fire deep down inside of our hearts. And the question for you and me this morning is that fire burning? What have we done with that fire? Do we have that fire burning deep down inside of our breast? Are we on fire for the Lord? Do we have that fire for God's kingdom? Or have we gotten comfortable? Do we like things the way that they are? Much of the world don't mind if our objective is simply to go to heaven. If that's all we want, the world will go along with that. They don't mind if our destination, our object, is to go to heaven, as long as everybody understands who rules the world, who rules things down here. So much of the world don't mind it if our only objective is to go to heaven. It's when we desire to bring the kingdom of God here, to live the kingdom of God here, to make the kingdom of God a reality here. That's when you start finding conflict and division. That's when people in the world don't like it. That's when people who have all the resources and all the money don't like it. That's when people who have all the power don't like it. They don't want God's kingdom. But Jesus wants us to be on fire. He wants us to be filled with passion for the kingdom of God, for the ways of God in the world. I've been a Presbyterian now for quite a long time. I know some of you were born Presbyterians, but I was not. I became a Presbyterian, though I became a Presbyterian many, many years ago. And I chose being a Presbyterian because I liked Presbyterians. Presbyterians were good people. Presbyterians are nice. Presbyterians like to do things decently and in order. And so I liked Presbyterians and wanted to be a Presbyterian and became a Presbyterian and have now become a Presbyterian minister. But Presbyterians are known for many things, and I've learned a great deal being a Presbyterian, a great deal about Reformed theology, Presbyterian theology, a lot of things from many great, wonderful Presbyterian teachers. But let's face it, we Presbyterians are not necessarily known for our passion. We're nice, we're competent, we do things decent and in order, but we're not necessarily known for our passion. And sometimes I wonder if our lack of passion has to do with the fact that we've grown too comfortable with the world, that we are comfortable with the way things are, that we are not willing to risk conflict and division, that we are not willing to face down the forces and powers of death that have such a grip over our world. But if God is going to use us, he's going to use us not because we are nice, If God is going to use us, he's going to use us not because we do things decently and in order. If God is going to use us, he's going to use us because we have passion, that fire in the belly for a different kind of world, a more just world, a more merciful world, a more loving world. I became a Presbyterian because I was fortunate enough to have met and served with and under Presbyterians who had that fire, who had that passion for God's kingdom. My own pastor, my mentor, Nib Stroop, and his wife, Caroline, who were pastors and co-pastors, were those kinds of people. They had this passion in the early 70s in Atlanta, this passion to see racial reconciliation in a section of Atlanta, the Atlanta area that wasn't known for that. Atlanta, like many of our cities, are terribly divided, but they had this passion to bring the kingdom of God to that section of Atlanta. And so they did that. They engaged in a ministry of racial reconciliation in a part of the city that was undergoing a great deal of strife. And it was that passion, that willingness to put that ministry on the line when everyone said that they probably couldn't do it, that ministry wouldn't last, that people were not used to coming together to worship black folk and white folk, but they put that vision, that kingdom vision in effect there in Decatur, Georgia. And that ministry is vibrant and strong and bears witness to what God has called us to be in this world, particularly in our world. But it's their passion, their vision, their passion for that kingdom vision where the walls and barriers that divide us come tumbling down. But there was also another Presbyterian minister that I had the pleasure of knowing. She was a part of another husband and wife team. Her name was Murphy Davis. And she and her husband, Ed Lauren, had a passion for the homeless in the city of Atlanta. And they started the open door ministry there. They bought an apartment building that had 60 rooms, and they converted it along with the Presbytery of Atlanta, and they began a homeless ministry. And they invited others, homeless people and people who were newly out of prison, and seminary professors and college students and everyone to live in this apartment complex. And they shared together and they worshiped together, people from various backgrounds. But it was a ministry that was catered to the homeless, and they had this passion, this fire deep down inside of them to bring that kingdom vision to fruition. But it was Murphy Davis's passion that impressed me. Her passion for the kingdom of God, because the ministry was not just one that housed the homeless, but it advocated for homeless people and advocated for people who were imprisoned. And she was very much an advocate for the imprisoned and for the homeless. And people said about her the things that they often said about Jesus. They said she was crazy. They said she didn't know what she was doing. They said that she was of the same caliber of the people that she advocated for. But she had this passion deep down inside of her. She believed that God's mercy and God's love and God's justice propelled her to be an advocate for those that everyone else wanted to run from and deny and to not want in their midst. But it was her deep, deep passion that impressed me and made me want to become a Presbyterian minister. But I confess this morning that oftentimes I'm not sure that I have that passion, that fire, that commitment that Jesus calls us to have for people. Sometimes I wonder if that same passion that Jesus is calling us towards is kindling inside of my own heart. There's been a great deal of sacrifice about sacrifice in the news recently. Who's sacrificed for what? And I wonder what it is that we, as God's people who are called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, are we willing to sacrifice for? Is God's passion burning so intensely within us that we're willing to sacrifice, that we're willing to sacrifice our comfort, that we're willing to sacrifice our reputations, that we're willing to sacrifice our friends, that we're willing to sacrifice the good standing of our families, that we're willing to give our lives for the sake of the kingdom? That text out of Hebrews reminds us that past generations of Christians have done just that. They have given all that they have for the sake of the gospel. Some of them were jailed, some of them were sawn into, some of them were hung, but they gave all they had because they had this passion deep down inside of them for the kingdom of God, for the ways of God in the world. And I wonder what we have this morning. Do we have that same kind of passion? We're reminded that we are not alone, that those past generations are still with us, that they are a part of a great cloud of witnesses who are encouraging us, that they remind us that it is our turn now, that they have done all that they can do, but it is our turn now. It is our turn to bear witness to who God is in the world. It is our turn to live the kingdom, to bear witness to the kingdom, to advocate for the kingdom. It is our turn to be the people that God has called us to be. It is our turn to be the people who has that fire burning deep down inside of us, so that the great story of God's people can continue. Do you have that fire deep down inside of you? Do you have that fire, that passion for God's kingdom? Or do we like things the way that they are? Are we comfortable with the world the way that it is? If you're not comfortable with the way that it is, this place is for you. If you're not comfortable with the way the world is, Jesus Christ is for you. The church is for you, because that's who we are. We are people who have been called out of the world. We are people who can't find a place in this world anymore. We are people who are considered to be foreigners because we're searching for something more. We're searching for God's justice. We're searching for God's love. We're searching for God's mercy. We're searching for God's kingdom to overturn this world of hurt and pain and injustice. And so if you don't like the world the way that it is, this place is for you. It is for all of us. In Greek mythology, Prometheus is the Greek god who brings fire to humankind over the objections of Zeus. Prometheus helped to create human beings, and he loves human beings, and as a gift, he brings human beings fire, the gift of fire. But this morning, we're reminded that it is Jesus who brings us the gift of real fire. It is Jesus who has given us the gift of God's passionate love, and he wants to set our hearts ablaze with that love. He wants us to be people who go out into the world to bear witness to God's love and God's justice and God's mercy in the midst of this world. He did not come to bring peace. So if that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong place. He did not come to bring comfort. He did not come to bring us contentedness. He did not come to make us rich. He did not come to make us successful. He did not come so that we could enjoy carefree lives. He did not come for any of that. Jesus says, I came so that you can have fire. I came to bring fire. I came to set the world on blaze, the world on fire. That's what I've come for. And he wants us to have that same kind of fire so that we can begin to refine and to transform and to cleanse this world so that God's will and God's kingdom will be all in all. To the glory of God forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you reminded us in the midst of a difficult world, of a dark world, of an unjust world, that you have not come to bring us peace. Those of us who are comfortable, those of us who have plenty, those of us with filled bellies, those of us with the roof over our head, those of us with plenty of clothes to wear, we sometimes want peace. We sometimes like the world the way that it is. But you have reminded us that you have come for something else. You have come to set the world ablaze with your justice and your love and your mercy. We ask, God, that you open our hearts and to help us, too, to be set on fire for the sake of your kingdom. Help us not to seek contentment, but to give us your passion, the passion of your passion, the passion that gave our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the passion that gave everything so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Help us too to have that kind of passion so that we might be willing to do what Jesus himself did, that we might be willing to pick up our cross and follow him wherever he takes us. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.